Glad you're here in church today with us. It's a little rainy outside, but we're glad to be here in God's house with his people. We're going to do things a little bit out of order today. I want you to just take a moment right now, if you would, just to greet the person around you. Tell them you're glad that they're here in church with you today. You can wander around if you want for a minute. Join me in our call to worship. It's from Psalm 67. You don't have to turn there. It's provided for you in your bulletin. Turn in the bulletin to the call to worship. All right. I'll just say a line and you folks repeat the line below it together. May God be merciful to us and bless us.
May God's face shine upon us and forgive us.
May God always be known on the earth. May God's ways always be known on the earth.
God's saving health among all nations.
So may all the nations praise God and sing for joy. Please rise with me and stand, and we'll sing together hymn number 437.
Ascend the light.
Sing the line.
standing for prayer. God, we thank you that you've sent your light, the light that Christ came to bring to the world, Lord, that he laid down his life for us, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son for us. We thank you that we can celebrate that this morning, Lord, and that we in turn can send the light not only here in this place, Lord, but throughout this area and throughout the world. We thank you that we celebrate that this morning with our missions offering, with our missions Sunday, Lord. We thank you for Christy, who's going to be sharing with us later, Lord. We just ask that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see everything that you have for us in Christ. We ask this in the name of him who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we want to welcome you this morning. Thank you for being with us here to worship. And as we said, it's our special Mission Sunday for us. A lot of churches, I think, in the area are having Mission Sundays, missions workshops and things, and we're excited to hear what Christy has to say to us. Sandy will have more to say about that when she introduces Christy later in our service. But we want to call your attention to several things. We're getting into that season where a lot of activity goes on in our church. One thing that we have today is our dinner immediately following the service. It's our missions dinner. And if you signed up for that, we'd love to have you join us. And if you didn't sign up for it and would like to join us, we'd love to have you join us. And that's going to be in the fellowship hall. I call it the gym, but everybody else calls it the fellowship hall. But for our purposes today, it's a fellowship hall, and it should be a great time of fellowship and just being together in the Lord. And we'll be taking up our missions offering a little bit later in the service as well. We want to make you aware of that. And we have Trunk or Treat tonight, which is a great outreach that our church has been part of now for 2 years. This is our second year. And if you're planning on being here to decorate your trunk, your car, please be here in the evening or by around 5 o'clock. That would be great just to get things set up. We'll be setting up in the light, and then it'll be dark probably by about 6, and we'll get started then. We're expecting 200 or more kids here, and hopefully a lot of parents as well. And it's just a great way to get to know folks in our community and in the surrounding towns. I think kids from other towns will be joining us as well today. So please be in prayer for that. We'll pray about that later on as well, that God would be lifted up in all this. And we have an all-town Thanksgiving service here at First Baptist in 3 weeks, no, 4 weeks' time, I guess, November 22nd at 6:30. The town choir will be meeting every Sunday between now and then from 6:30 to 7:30 at the United Church of Christ to practice. If you'd like to participate in that, you're welcome to do that as well. Are there any announcements that I'm missing? All right, let's continue. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 37, our Old Testament readings from Psalm 37, a great psalm. Page 874 in the Pew Bible, if you're using that. Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy pasture, safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. The word of God for the people of God. Let's turn in our hymnals to hymn number 441.
Rescue the Perishing.
We'd like to share joys and concerns with each other right now. And if you have anything that you're concerned over that you need prayer for, there are green slips in front of you in the pew. And there's a blank space that you can fill in a prayer request and just hold it up like this, and one of the ushers will come by and pick that up for you. We also, in the same token, want to lift up our praise to the Lord and thank him for answered prayer. Thank him for the good things he's given us. We're grateful for those. And write those down, jot those down as well on that slip of paper if you would, and one of the ushers will pass by and get that from you. wanted to bring you some good news and also some news for some concerning news too. Mike and Vicky Cunningham's granddaughter Ellie has arrived, and she's very healthy. She's 9 pounds 3 ounces. She was born on Thursday morning at 8:30. She's 21 and a half inches long, or tall. I guess they're long when they're that age, right? They're not vertical. They're horizontal still. So I guess they're long. But that's a big praise. Ellie's doing very well. Catherine, however, is suffering some complications. She's in pain and discomfort still since Thursday. So please be in prayer for Catherine with all that. And that's a big cause of concern for Mike and Vicky, as well as her husband Joey and the whole family. So just pray that she returns to normal bodily functions. But anyway, great cause of praise to the Lord. Mike and Vicky's grandbabies arrived. So their family's getting big. That's why Mike's out of town, and as a matter of fact, and why I'm standing up here this morning, because he hasn't mastered the art of being in two places at once yet. So he's there and I'm here. So keep them in prayer. Is there anything else? All right. We've got a bunch of other prayer requests in the bulletin if you'd like to take a look at those. Let's see. Cindy McNamara's presentation last week at Mission Works went very well, was well received, so we praise God for that. Bob Willett is having back surgery on Wednesday, the 28th. So please pray for that, pray for him. He's been in a lot of pain, and we're praying that God would alleviate that pain through this surgery that he's going to be having. And prayers for Joy Corcoran. She had surgery on her hand and elbow on Wednesday. Just pray for healing with that. And Dave Nadell had, I think, hernia surgery, and that went well last week. Just prayers for recovery for him. His family's got a lot of health issues, too. Edith and Lloyd, and I think his brother Rick, too, so we should keep them in prayer as well. All right, let's go to our great God and Savior in prayer. Lord, we thank you that that you answer prayer, Lord, that you hear our prayers, that you're ever near us, Lord, that you draw near to us when we draw near to you. And God, we pray that you'd help us to draw near to you, Lord, that you'd enable us to stick and stay close by you, Lord, by your side. Lord, we pray for Mike and Vicky's little grandbaby. We praise you for her arriving in the world, and we pray for Catherine, Lord, as she recovers from all that, and she's still experiencing some major complications, Lord, but we know that these are not beyond what you can deal with and what you can intervene in. We just ask that you do both of those things, Lord, that you make her well soon, and just give Mike and Vicky a good visit down there with their family, Lord, and thank you for growing their family. And God, just do great things in their family. We thank you that Pat Lyons is recovering well from his gallbladder surgery last week, Lord. And for Dave Nadell as well, Lord. And we pray for Lloyd as he's got some issues. And Edith, Lord, it seems like that family is just kind of racked with physical difficulties right now. We ask that you'd comfort them, Lord, and heal them. Thank you, God, for Bob being scheduled for surgery this Wednesday. We ask that you'd guide the hands of the surgeons, Lord, as they operate on him, and that he'd have relief from the pain that he's been experiencing with his back, Lord. God, we just pray for missions not only here in our area and in Massachusetts, Lord, but throughout the world. We pray that you'd use these offerings that we give later on in the service, Lord, for your glory, that you'd be lifted high, Lord, by those that are using these funds to bring the word of God, to bring salvation through Christ to the nations, Lord. We thank you for the small part you allow us to play in that. We pray that you'd enable us to be faithful in that calling, Lord, to send out, to send the light, Lord, to have a part in rescuing the perishing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll worship the Lord through the giving of tithes and offerings at this time.
Thank you. Subscribe to the doxology.
Jesus.
Please be seated. That was an adventure. We'll ask the kids, 4 years old up to grade 5 to come forward for the children's sermon. It's going to be about 45 minutes long, so it's going to be very short. So any kids, come on up here. Have a seat, guys. All right. This morning. Come on up here. Great. Okay, what happens this time of year that everybody's looking forward to? Halloween, one thing, yeah?
Trunk or treat
tonight, yeah, oh, thank you. You know what? No, the check's going to be in the mail for you tonight, okay? I'm going to send you money for saying that. I'm just kidding. Yep. Christmas is coming up, okay? We've got all kinds of holidays, okay? All kinds of holidays coming up. And one of those holidays is maybe not as talked about as some of the other ones. The birthday of Jesus, yeah, which is Christmas, okay? We do celebrate Jesus' birth, Christmas Day. But one holiday we celebrate in November is Thanksgiving. It's called Thanksgiving. And when you've done something... Yeah, it's a long name, Thanksgiving. It's not easy to remember. I don't either. But anyway, when you've done something nice and your parents want to tell you you've done something nice, what do they say to you?
Good job.
They say good job. It's another two-word phrase that they use sometimes too.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. And sometimes when you're in store maybe and somebody does something nice for you and you're a little kid, maybe you haven't learned a lot of things yet. Your parents might say to you, when somebody's done something nice to you, what do you say? And what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you, okay? All right. Those are things that people do that are nice to us, okay? People do nice things for us, okay? But we forget sometimes that there are bad things, or hard, not bad things, but hard things that happen to us too. And God in His Word encourages us all to be thankful even for those things. In every circumstance, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Why would somebody be thankful for something hard that happened to them? This is a hard question, but why would you be thankful for something hard that happened to you? Or difficult? Maybe there's a lesson in it, right? Yeah, maybe God's making you into the person He wants you to be through that hard thing that you're going through. Okay? So God is shaping us. God's word says that God is shaping us by what we go through in life. We go through good stuff, and we go through hard stuff too. And in all those things, He's got your best and my best in mind. So I want you to remember that in this season. And it's probably a good lesson for us all to remember in this season, that even though we're very thankful for the good things and the happy things that happen to us, we can be thankful for the hard things that happen to us because we know that God loves us. He ultimately loves us. He really, really loves you, and He loves me. And even though we're going through these tough things, God's got good things in mind for us in the future. So let's just pray and ask God to be with you guys, be with us in His service now, too. Lord, we thank You for all these kids that have come forward this morning, Lord. We thank You that You love us so much that even in the hard things, we can know that You love us and You want our best. You want what's best for us, Lord. Help us to be thankful this season, Lord, and always. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Well, have a great lesson. Those of you that are going to junior church, and the rest of you guys can go sit down. All right, we're excited about this morning, and Cindy will tell you more about what's going to happen now.
Good morning. Nice to see a lot of people here this morning. I'm glad you came to hear Christy. I want to tell you a little bit about Christy. I first met Christy on my second trip to La Romana. On my first trip in 2005, she was on home assignment you know, that lovely thing that missionaries have to do every so often, go around and talk at churches and raise money. It's one of their favorite things to do, trust me. Every one of them loves it. Yeah, right. But in 2006 when I went, Christy was there, and Christy was such a good organizer and kept things going well and good coordination. And, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult when you're trying to herd around 30, 40, 60, 100 people, but she went with the flow. But the day I remember probably the most about Christy was, I believe that it was 2010 when you left, 2012. So I was there in 2012, and she came to me and she said, she goes, I want you to know I've made a decision. I feel God is calling me to do something else. And I was kind of surprised because she'd always said she was going to stay in the Dominican for life. But, you know, God has all these different plans for people. Well, what she felt God was calling her to do was to be a medical consultant for the Caribbean and Latin America. And I think you did that for, what, maybe 2 years? And then God called her to something even bigger. Today, Christy, who is a pediatric nurse practitioner, by the way, is working around the world for international ministries. She is the global consultant for health. And she assesses health situations in all kinds of different ways. Perhaps it's after after an earthquake, like in Haiti, or perhaps it's just to go in and see how things are and what can she suggest to the local people to help them improve what they're doing. So without telling you a whole lot more, except to tell you this, during the lunch, we're going to hear more specifically about her work. And up on the table in the fellowship hall, if you can't stay for the lunch, if you want to go up and see her display or take one of her prayer cards so you can keep in mind to pray for her, or if you'd like a bookmark that tells more about her, or if you'd like to have, look at that, on a camel, a magnet of Christy. So these are all reminders so that we would remember to pray for Christy, because, you know, as important as money is, prayer is more important. So without further ado, I'll call Christy up.
Thank you for having me back this morning. I'm going to quickly show a video here in a second. I want to tell you a little bit about that video before we start, before I have Cindy start it. But the video that you're going to see is going to show you a few pictures of the places that I've been traveling over the last 3 years since I took on this new role after leaving the Dominican Republic. In the last 3 years, I've been in 18 different countries doing this new role. Which is sort of a dream of mine. As I was growing up as a kid, I didn't have pictures of boy bands and rock groups and movie stars on my walls. I had pictures of countries I wanted to see. And it's kind of a dream come true for me to see some of those places now and to be visiting them and doing things with healthcare to change the world. And the song you're going to hear in the background was written for me by a friend of mine, a volunteer who came to work in the Dominican Republic, Matt Powers. And he wrote the song based on a phrase that I use oftentimes, and I hear that Cindy has talked to you about sometimes and other people, that says, do what you can with what you've got in the moment that you're given. And I told teams about that all the time in the Dominican Republic, because we oftentimes get caught up in all of the things we can't do because we don't have enough material things, or we don't have enough training, or we don't have enough of something. And so we stop doing. And we say, well, if I only had this or that, then I could be a real help to somebody. The reality is that God has gifted every single one of us with something very unique and special. And we need to use those gifts to do his work on this earth.
I
This morning's scripture is coming from Luke 17, starting with verse 11. It's the story of Jesus and the lepers. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. I'm not sure what the Pew Bible is reading from, but it'll be very similar. It starts like this. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God." He fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." I've recently been reading a book by Anne Voskamp entitled 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. The idea behind this book began when the author was challenged by a friend of hers to write a list of 1,000 things for which to be thankful. She thought that it wouldn't be very difficult, and so she agreed to the challenge. But she quickly learned that this wasn't as easy as she had originally thought. See, the author was struggling at the time with finding a reason to be thankful for much of anything in life. She even doubted that God had anything good to do in the world, if he even existed. As a young child, she had watched her 3-year-old younger sister die as she was run over by a delivery truck at their farm. And then as an adult, she watched her brother-in-law and sister-in-law lose two children to a genetic disease that doctors said would be impossible for two children to have in the same family. There was a lot of pain in this world, she knew. There was a lot of suffering. There was a lot of hurt. And people just got by and survived, right? But for some reason, when her friend presented this challenge, Anne decided that she would take the dare and see if she could do it. And so she began. It began with the easy things. Thankfulness for her husband and for her children. Thankfulness for a roof over her head. Food in her cupboard. It was easy to get the first 10 or so things on the list. But when you aren't used to being really thankful, seeing everything around you as a blessing is pretty difficult. Through reading her book, I've learned a new word. The word is Eucharisteo. Eucharisteo is a Greek word that means to give thanks or to be thankful or to feel, or to be grateful or to feel thankful. Eucharisteo. Be grateful. Feel thankful. Could you do what she did? 1,000 different things in your life that you are thankful for today. Not things that you wished that you had or hoped to have one day, but 1,000 things that you already have or see or feel in your life today. When was the last time that you were truly thankful or grateful for everything in your life? It's pretty easy to be thankful for the good things in life. When things are going well and we have an abundance of the things that we want or that we strive for, but what about those times when life is really hard? What about when we are hurting or someone that we love is suffering or injured or sick or even dying? Are we truly grateful or feeling thankful in those moments? I have to admit that I struggle with understanding how to be thankful when there are painful things happening in my life or when I'm in the midst of some tragedy. But the longer that I work in my job right now, it is honestly easier to be thankful and grateful. Not because, as you might think, I see how much better off I am than those people around me that I go and serve in the world. It's because I see their thankfulness in the midst of tragedy. They teach me to be more grateful for all that I have been given. Last year, in about April, I started hearing about the Ebola crisis in the world, much like many of you. And my heart began to break. That's what happens to me. That's why I know I'm supposed to be a missionary in health. When I see health tragedies, when I see tragedies around the world on the news, my heart actually physically starts hurting. And I feel like I'm supposed to go do something. And I look for ways to go and to serve. I go to those places. I'm like kind of like firemen who run into fires. That's kind of like me running into these tragedies around the world. I feel like I'm supposed to go and do something. And as I watch the tragedy get worse and worse and see stories of more and more dying and suffering, I thought, there is something I have to do. I have to go. How can I go and serve? I wasn't afraid. I knew that if I got there, God would take care of me. There was something I needed to do. And in about August of last year, a friend of mine who works for the CDC, who does much of the same thing that I do except for the CDC, she's a Christian and a physician, and she goes and assesses for the CDC these tragedies around the world, oftentimes before we even see them or hear about them on the news. She decides what the CDC is going to do. She wrote a letter back to friends and family, not an official letter. And she wrote this back, and I got a copy of it. And she said she was standing in the middle of the most densely populated slum area in West Africa. It was in Monrovia, Liberia, the capital city. And she was looking around her at the devastation that Ebola had brought. And her heart was breaking. Because the missions had all left. And as she was watching people suffering and looking hopeless, she thought to herself, where is the church? Where is the church in all of this? The church should be in front of this. The church who has a hope beyond the hope of science, beyond the hope of medicine. The church who has hope that cannot be explained by the things of this world should be in front of this. And they ran. Where is the church? And as she was thinking that, this little old woman, her words not mine, in her missionary skirt, followed by a young man in jeans and a t-shirt and a wooden cross, walked up to her and said, our names are, and they gave their names, and we work for Medical Teams International, and we're here to help. Tell us what we can do. It was the ecumenical mission agency that I ended up going over and serving with for a month. And I had the opportunity to work with Liberians, who all of them had lost family members or friends with Ebola. And as I worked with them every single day for 12 hours as we rode around in jeeps and vehicles, not touching, not being able to shake hands, not being able to share even a pen for fear of transmitting Ebola between each other if one of us happened to get sick. But we could share stories of life and their stories of being grateful for living when their friends had died, when their family had died, their gratefulness and thankfulness for having a home, for having faith in the midst of tragedy and being able to share that faith, being grateful for working for MTI, whom they worked for, a Christian agency in the midst of this tragedy. Their gratefulness taught me to be more grateful. I have learned from some of the most desperate and hurting people in the world how to be more thankful, how to be grateful, how to say to God, I may not understand all that is going on right now, but I trust that you do. And for that, I am thankful. For that, I can give praise. For that, I can trust. 10 lepers cried out to Jesus on the road, entering a village somewhere on the border between Samaria and Galilee. 10 desperate, isolated, rejected, despondent people without hope. And yet they thought, maybe, just maybe, this man that they call Jesus, they say that he can perform miracles of healing. Maybe he can heal us. If we cry out to him, maybe he will hear us and heal our bodies. It's worth a shot. And so they cried out to Jesus, and Jesus heard them, and Jesus healed them. And what was Jesus' response to them after the healing? He told them to go to the priests at the temple so that they could show themselves as being clean and be reunited with their own community and be acceptable once again. And off they ran, all but one. Of all the 10 who were healed, only one man came back to Jesus with a heart full of thanksgiving. There's that word again, eucharisteo. He fell to his knees and began praising God. One. All of the other 9 had been healed just as this man had been healed. They were all given the same command, go and show yourselves to the priests. And yet this man, before doing anything else, was overwhelmed with a need to do what? Be grateful, feel thankful, give praise. Eucharisteo. And who was this man? Was he a Jewish man, a man who came from a background in the synagogues and who knew of the coming King and Savior? Was he someone who should know how to worship the one who would save them all? No. He was a Samaritan. This one was not only a leper just moments ago, but he was also part of a despised race who was considered to be an idolater. Yet in spite of all of this, he was the one who returned with a heart full of thanksgiving. Eucharisteo. And what was Jesus' response to this man as well as to the other 9? All received the gift of being cured of their leprosy. Yet the Samaritan man that returned thankful, he alone received something more. This man learned that his thankfulness played a part in his healing. His faith, his belief that Jesus was able, led to a fuller understanding of God's grace in his life. Wouldn't you like that too? A greater understanding of God's grace in your own life? Well, here's the key. Eucharisteo. Jesus didn't withhold healing from the others, but I can only imagine the deep joy that Jesus felt in seeing at least one who wasn't only interested in what he could get from Jesus, but was grateful for who Jesus was. Finding one person who was more interested in praising him than putting out an open hand, someone who recognized his authority, not only his ability. When was the last time you thanked God? I mean, really thanked God for something even small, seemingly inconsequential in your life? Eucharisteo. We often get into a pattern of asking God for things, big things usually, like a healing, a job, help out of a problem, usually a problem we got ourselves into. And it's not wrong to ask God to intervene. We should. He wants to be invited into every single part of our lives, and he wants only the best for us. The problem arises when we begin to believe that we know better than God what is good for us, or we begin to demand things from him. We become thankful only when we get those things that we ask for. When life turns out just as we think it should. We get that new job that we really want, or that new house, or the new car, the new boyfriend, husband, or date we want for the prom, the healing of a loved one. If we don't get the things that we are adamantly praying for, then we can start thinking that God doesn't love us, or that maybe he doesn't exist, or maybe he just doesn't care for us that much. Please believe me when I tell you that those things just are not true. God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die on a cross in a horrible death so that your life would be saved. God wants you to have an abundant, whole, and healthy life that is full of only good things. At the same time, all of humankind has free will to decide what they will do, and there is a lot of evil in this world. People for generations have made terrible decisions that affect us even today, but this does not stop God's desire for only the best in our lives. Even when we forget or choose not to thank God, he continues to shower us with blessings. He will never forget us, no matter how often we forget him. It is my prayer that we will live our lives not for what we can get out of them, in other words, the things that God gives us, but that we honor him through faithful service with an attitude of Eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. Feeling thankful. Being grateful. Giving thanks. We may not always understand the hurt and the pain and the suffering that we see around us or even in our own lives, but we must trust that God understands and learn to give thanks for even the small things. When Jesus had only hours left of his life, what did he choose to do? In Luke 22, 19, it says, he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. The night before he died, he knew what was coming. He could have been doing anything else, but what was most important to him at that time? Eucharisteo. He was teaching the disciples what was so vital for each of them to remember in their lives. In the face of trials, in the face of doubt, in the face of tragedy, in the face of pain, even in the face of death, go forward with thanksgiving to God and be grateful for all that he has given you. So when the early fathers of the church sought to give a name to this most precious of gifts, they called it the Eucharist. Because it represented the one gift for which they were most thankful. Eucharisteo. As you leave this place today, I would like to leave you with part of a sermon that Martin Luther King Jr. gave. It's entitled The Drum Major Instinct. And in this sermon, he's talking about what he hopes is spoken during his own eulogy. The ironic thing is that he gave this sermon just weeks before his own death. It is what I too hope can be said about my life and yours one day, because we've lived a life full of gratitude and thankfulness for the things that we have in our own lives and how we've used them and shared them with others. This is what it says. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I did try to love and serve humanity. Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. Say I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. Yes, Jesus, I want to be on your right or your left side, not for any selfish reason. I want to be on your right or your left side, not in terms of some political kingdom or ambition, but I just want to be there in love and in justice and in truth and in commitment to others so that we can make of this old world a new world. Amen.
At this time, we're going to receive the World Missions Offering, and you got to do a little work. I'm going to move the basket up to the front, and you can bring your offering up to the front, please. Oh, I should say, just to remind you, this offering is the World Missions Offering, which helps support International Ministries, which is the organization that Christy works for around the world.
If you're able, please rise and with me and sing our closing hymn, "We've a Story to Tell the Nations," number 446. And before we sing this, if you're able to join us for the dinner afterwards, we'd love to have you. And take a look at the display out there that Cindy mentioned.
Throughout our weeks to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.